Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
It is Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, streaming on ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamuke. It is Tuesday around these parts, so coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get kickstarted on the top five, bottom five in the NFL from what we saw this past week. And I'm not going to lie, this week, probably the most creative top five I've had so far. Some very interesting names in this one. We're giving the little man some shine this week. Some outstanding performances from some names you might not be familiar with, Jhené, because I am a glass half full kind of guy, as you know this.
Yeah, only on one day every other week. But I'm a little sad because the bottom five, usually it's fun to be creative there, but like we actually had bad performances.
Yeah, no, there was... There was some of that, but speaking of glass half full, glass half empty and all this, it is so funny. We were talking about the NBA season getting ready to tip off, coming up here, and we get into the break, and Cliff, our producer, is a 76ers fan. He's talking about how he's trying to get amped up for this season, and you know, he said he's ready to be heard again now. It's kind of like a relationship. You know, I'm ready to go out here. I've recovered from what's happened in the past. But then this weird dynamic shift started to happen where Shannon, who's our producer and who's a Knicks fan here, starts chiming in and telling Cliff how to deal with it, and said Cliff all of a sudden pushes back. The comparison between the Knicks and the 76ers was too much. Cliff says to our producer, "This is not Knicks bad, in all fairness." Like, Cliff, how do you plead in this one? That seemed unnecessarily hard.
It was a low blow.
I mean, it was all facts, right? Like, it's not Knicks bad. The Knicks are that bad.
I mean, again, not wrong.
No disrespect.
I was about to say,
no,
where's the lie?
You can't say no disrespect.
No disrespect, but that is a bad franchise. There is no lie.
Sorry, where is the lie? Jeez, man. Dang it. Sorry, Shannon.
It's tough. I was trying to have your back on that one, Shannon, but unfortunately, the truth sets everyone free here. It's a difficult go for the New York Knicks. It's Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Jhené Egbuamuke, and it is basketball season. We know getting started soon in the NBA, but basketball has tipped off in the college ranks for both the men and the women, and we're excited to go to the Champions Classic tonight. Number 9, Duke against number 13, Michigan State. Number 10, Kentucky versus number 6, Kansas. And on the call for both of those on ESPN Radio is going to be our own ESPN college basketball analyst Bob Valvano, joining us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Bob, how you doing?
Jhené Jr., it's interesting to call guys half my age and twice my size junior, but that's okay. Nice to be with you guys. How are you?
I love it.
We're doing great, Bob. And trust me, I've been called Mikey Jr. everything. As long as it's not a four-letter word, I'm good for it at this point. So, Bob, it is interesting, though, as we get going into college basketball season now, I feel like so many people are learning on the fly because, like everyone else, college basketball has had to manage starting their season in the middle of a global pandemic. So from your view, what's the start of college basketball look like as far as the sport's ability to try and navigate this initially?
Well, I think there's really three things very quickly I'll try and get in. I think they're all important. The first one is, yeah, I think you touched on it. How do you navigate through? And the one thing I'm struck by, and you know this, coaches by nature are selfish. I mean, if you're not, you're unemployed pretty soon. So they tend to look out for themselves. There's a great spirit among the coaches this year that, hey, you know what? We got to come together for the good of the game. We lost our tournament last year. We can't afford to do that again, and we can't just play the tournament without having some season that has some meaning. So you're seeing things like, you know, Bob Huggins picks up the phone when he realizes Tennessee is out of the Jimmy Eadie Classic, says, I'll play. And Mark Few says, sure, well, fine, we'll play them. I mean, you're seeing that all over the place. Baylor and Gonzaga pick up a game on the fly. That, I think, is wonderful because I think these coaches are smart enough to know without it. I mean, I don't want to be a doomsday person, but we're kind of hanging on by a thread here. We really are. And so if they don't band together, the whole thing is going to fall apart. So I think that's the first thing. The second thing, you talk about learning on the fly. I've had a chance to talk to almost all the coaches in the doubleheader tonight and then the Jimmy V Classic tomorrow. And Mike, you hit it on the head. They've all said the same thing. We are going into this season knowing less about anything than any other year because we haven't had any scrimmages, no exhibition games. You know, our opponents have frequently had games canceled. They've had games where they played without a full roster. Baylor, who we'll see tomorrow, played their first two games without their head coach. So I think everybody's just trying to get answers. And you do that anyway early in the year, but this year more than most. And then I'll be honest, I think the third thing is for us as fans, just enjoy it. Be glad we have the games because you're not going to get really, I don't think, this is just my opinion, really meaningful answers this early. They don't even know. The coaches themselves don't know what they're dealing with. How are you going to know? It's just watching the game. So enjoy seeing some great players. The level of play I've watched so far has not been bad, and they're playing hard, and everybody's happy to play. But, you know, nobody's going to get eliminated here. It's not college football where we're eliminating somebody in the first week of the season. So just enjoy the journey. We got some terrific games coming up tonight and tomorrow, and just be entertained. But don't read too much into what you see, because I think these teams are all going to be a lot different in February than they are now.
Bob Valvano, ESPN college basketball analyst, Chinee Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. here with you on Chinee and Golic Jr. right now on ESPN Radio, live on ESPN News and ESPN Plus. Now, it's really interesting because you talk about the terrific games, and I feel like we're at this crazy intersection of a sports vortex. So some people have not been prepared for a college basketball season because they might be catching the end of the NBA and the start of the NBA sort of in the last few months, the NFL, college football. So could you sort of tell us what to expect tonight when it comes to the Champions Classic? Michigan State, Duke, Kansas, Kentucky. What is one key thing or player or one aspect that we should all tune into?
Not you weren't ready for the Wednesday afternoon NFL game? You didn't see that one coming?
I tried to sum it up really quick, Bob.
I'll tell you a couple things real quick. Again, talking to the coaches, let's start with the second game. I think Kansas found out when they don't have as big a margin of error as they had last year, but when they do the things they can do well, they can be good. They played Gonzaga, who's terrific, straight up after a terrible start, because at the beginning of the game, they weren't doing the things that they maybe could have got away with last year. They had Azubuike in the back who could erase some mistakes. This year they found out, we better stay in front of guys or we're going to have a hard time. When the game goes, even though Belsoff likes to play fast, if the game goes too fast for them, they could struggle a bit. So they've got to get a tempo and control the game in ways, because they don't have quite the margin of error. For John Calipari, he's got to find some guys to shoot the ball. They made 6 threes in 2 games combined. In last game, they didn't make the game they lost. They didn't make a three at all. So this is him talking. He said, you know, we got to find some shooters. He's confident they will. His team always looks different later on. But, you know, that is the one thing right now. Where are the shooters going to come from? And, you know, I think that's what I'll look for there. And in the first game between Michigan State and Duke, you know, this is the only matchup where one of the coaches does not have a win over the other. Tom Izzo is 0-3 against Duke in this event. And talking to our friend Seth Greenberg, you know, Duke's been pretty good during that time, so they beat a lot of people. But he thinks maybe the reason is Izzo loves to run a million sets. That really is what he's all about, and that's the hardest thing to do against Duke. That's the one thing Mike tries to do, is get you out of your offense. You got to be able to go and improvise and find matchups where you can just beat a guy off the dribble and go. And they don't really play that way normally. So that's going to be an interesting thing to see what they do there. They have some good experienced players back. I think that's going to be a factor. I think Michigan State's a little deeper than Duke. You know, Duke, he hasn't played very deep in his roster the last few years, and I'm not sure it's going to be a whole lot different this year. But I think Jordan Goldwyer is going to be very important for Duke. You talk about some of the bigger stars on that team, but you got to have somebody. You've seen them play. You know, you got to have that quarterback on any team, but especially the way Mike plays, and he's going to have to be that take-charge guy. And he did a good job last year, but I think he's going to have to take his game up this year for them to be where they want to be as well.
Looking forward for all of this. Coverage of the Champions Classic on ESPN Radio starts at 7 p.m. Again, number 9 Duke against number 13 Michigan State at 7:30, and number 10 Kentucky versus number 6 Kansas at 9:30 on ESPN. Bob Valvano with us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Bob, we know we're kicking off V-Week around here at ESPN. Obviously, it's something near and dear to your family. What can you implore or emphasize to people just about the impact that the V Foundation has for so many people battling this disease?
Well, I think you hit it on the head. It's the people battling the disease. You know, when you're going through it, you just want to know there's somebody out there who's fighting for you. You know, you want some reason to have hope. And I think that's one of the things that this organization's done, is just let people know, hey, we're out there trying to fund the people looking for those breakthroughs. And sad as it is now, you know, cancer doesn't wait for a pandemic. So, and I don't mean to minimize what's going on with COVID. And we've got a lot of researchers, frankly, who were doing a lot of cancer work, have shifted gears because it's been all hands on deck for this COVID and to find a vaccine. But, you know, cancer's still here. It hasn't gone anywhere. It doesn't care about your problems. It doesn't care about a pandemic. So we've still got to get the money in the hands of the researchers who are continuing to do the work. And if you look at what these people have done, it's really extraordinary. The hope they've given You take a look at the statistics for breast cancer, for example, prostate cancer. Go take a look at from 25 years ago to now. They're almost completely flipped on their ear, just completely turned over from a really kind of a difficult, desperate time to a hopeful time. So I hope everybody can find, you know, we've all got our challenges. I know it's caused a lot of economic hardship for people, but if there's some way in this holiday time, it's the, you know, Giving Tuesday, if you can find some way to I heard you mentioning it earlier in the show, and I appreciate you doing that, because you just can't forget the cancer, the people going through it, and we can't forget the researchers who need our help, because it's not waiting for a pandemic or anything else, and we've got to do everything we can every day to fight it.
Absolutely, and that money and support are the ways that we can do it and do our part in here. Bob, we appreciate the time, we appreciate the insight, and we appreciate you emphasizing that message for everyone on this day and certainly every day. Thanks, Bob.
Great to be with you guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Bob Valvano with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, really bringing home and driving home what this is all about. We will get to the NFL top five and bottom five and kick that off here in just a couple of minutes. That's coming up. It's Chenay and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio.
You could honor Stuart Scott's memory by giving to his research fund that supports minority researchers and the research of why some cancers are more likely to impact some minority populations. If you're able, give to this important cause at v.org/Stuart. That's S-T-U-A-R-T.
Chenay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chenay Igwumike, and you heard it there. It is the start of V-Week here around ESPN. What normally takes place in the summer around the ESPYs, the V Foundation Auction Week, has obviously had to change a lot this year because of what's gone on with the pandemic. But the goal is still the same, to raise money for the research that funds the things that are going to eventually save lives that are battling and dealing with cancer, one of the worst diseases on the planet. V.org/donate is where you can go and donate if you have the ability to. We know everyone's been affected differently by the pandemic this year. We know everyone might not have the resources, the funds right now to be able to give to something like this, but if you can, we hope you'll consider the V Foundation. Chenay, both you and I have, you know, certainly known people touched by cancer. We have colleagues here at ESPN. We just talked to Chelly Smith, who said the V Foundation was able to support her through her battles with cancer, and I think that's the most important thing, is it's about supporting people who are fighting that battle.
And this takes me back to one of my favorite weeks in college basketball, where it all started, because we've adopted in the professional ranks, like wearing pink, that was for breast cancer, but all the fight is still the same. So to have an opportunity to continue to give, you know, I don't know if you ever got, did you guys do that at Notre Dame? Did you do like jerseys or anything?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so having the pink jersey was such a moment, because a lot of times you could put the person of, you know, that was struggling or has, you know, fought their battle and won, or even the people that we, you know, serve in memory of, like on the back of the jersey. So today is a very special day. Again, if you can donate, if you can, especially given this year, and we know it's difficult, but if you're able to, v.org/donate, it will go a long way this year.
It's Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we will get to some breaking news out of the world of college football in about 5 or 10 minutes, because I want the full time that I need to celebrate this historic occasion that we have going on. But this is Tuesday. This show has a standard around here on Tuesday. We have digested most. We usually get to say we've digested all the NFL this weekend. We know we got Ravens Steelers tomorrow, so they're going to get their own little party on Wednesday. But it's time for top five, bottom five.
Which teams were great?
Breaks a tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown.
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted. He couldn't hang on.
This is the NFL Top 5, Bottom 5.
Top 5, Bottom 5. Chenay, we give you the top 5, bottom 5 things that we saw in the NFL this weekend. I got the positive end of things this week. Are you ready, Chenay?
Let's go!
Number 5.
Number 5, Chenay, I figure I'd go near and dear and play for the home team on this one. Richard Sherman and the 49ers
did a
big-time win in the division. Richard Sherman, an interception in this game, intercepting Jared Goff to kickstart a party for this defense, ultimately led them in tackles. And I just think for this Niners team, as many people, I think 13 players on IR this year, to get that kind of division win shows just what a juggernaut the NFC West is.
Yes, and in his first game back since, I believe, week one, yep, to get a pick, an interception, that is very Sherman. Welcome back, Sherm. Let's go.
Big
he
time.
Was a senior when I was a freshman, so we in a family.
I figured I would give you one because I'm going to celebrate
Thank
in favor
you.
Of Notre Dame a lot later.
Thank you. Okay.
Number 4.
Number four, let's give this one up. I know we've shown love a lot, and he's a friend of the program. Derrick Henry, Tennessee Titans running back, 27 carries for $178 in the Titans win that vaults them into first place in the AFC South this weekend. Chinay, he now becomes one of two players in Titans history with 10-plus rushing touchdowns in three straight seasons, joining only Earl Campbell as that other one. Pretty lofty air for Derrick Henry to be breathing in. He's very tall.
Yeah, and I saw. Yeah, respect to all the tall people out there, considering we are two people on the program that are very tall as well. But yeah, I'm here for this, and I feel like it's time to put respect on his name and put him back in the MVP discussions, according to Stephen A. Even though we know realistically it's hard for a running back, but hey, he deserves some accolades here.
Patrick Mahomes is going to win the MVP. Derrick Henry's True. In my top five. Basically the same thing.
Number three.
Give this one out. I mentioned it's a big weekend for the little guys in this one. Chad Beebe is probably not a name that you know very well. Wide receiver from the Minnesota Vikings. He was a guy who you saw muff a punt return opportunity in their game against Carolina that ultimately led to a Panthers field goal just after the two-minute warning. And how did he respond? Not by sulking, but by going out there and catching the game-winning touchdown after a seven-play, 75-yard drive to finish off that game for the Vikings. Chinay, I thought it was a great testament of willpower and overcoming a bad situation.
This is why thinking positive matters, because you don't want to let that ruin your day, because the energy you give is the energy you retract or attract. Same business, whatever the case is. And I was happy to see him, you know, sort of be able to recover from that first gaffe.
Let's go to that energy on the other side.
Retract.
Number two.
The love you take is equal to the love you make, or something like that. Jeremy Chinn was apparently living right on the other side for Carolina. Their second round draft pick out of Southern Illinois returned a strip sack for a 17-yard touchdown, and then on the very next defensive play, returned a 28-yard strip from Dalvin Cook for a touchdown. He is now one of three NFL players in history with multiple fumble return touchdowns in a game. Chinay, an unbelievable effort on the other side. I think might have been the only player to do it on back-to-back plays in the league.
I was about to say, this is like the needle in a haystack type of play that happened back-to-back. Within 10 seconds? Like, it's wild.
Wild. Absolutely wild. So big ups to them, but number one.
Number one.
Let's go.
This can't go to anybody else. Broncos wide receiver / quarterback Kendall Hinton. This weekend, an undrafted rookie on practice squad who played quarterback during a couple of his years at Wake Forest before making the switch to wideout, came up this week, no practice reps, barely knew half the team's names, and still found a way to go out there and just produce at all, Chinay. The numbers don't matter. The Broncos Twitter account summed that up very well, but to step up like that in such a short amount of time, nothing but love for our president here.
He deserves a medal. He deserves a reward, because that is hard to do. Talking about athletics and sports being a mental game, like what he stepped into and did it with a smile. Kudos. Keep it going, Cliff. There we go. Kendall Hinton. He deserves an absolutely well-deserved number one in the NFL this week.
There's your top five. Your bottom five coming up in about 10 minutes here. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. But coming up next, we still have questions about what the hell is happening tomorrow and why a tree lighting ceremony bulldogged an NFL game. And so we will ask an expert on that next. It's Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
During these challenging times, ESPN and the V Foundation's fight against cancer hasn't stopped. If you are able, please support cancer research by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of what you give goes directly to cancer research.
Chinay Ngolick Jr., the podcast.
Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Ngolick Jr., Forbes 30 Under 30 list member extraordinaire, Chinay Ngolick with us here.
Leave me alone, please.
We're going to keep the you know what, Chinay? It is a day of celebration around here. Now we are efforting our ESPN NFL reporter, Diana Russini, try and get some insight as to what's going on. She spent so much time covering the AFC North, the teams involved, and so the Steelers and Ravens game that's set to take place tomorrow afternoon because of a tree lighting ceremony. I wish to God we could say we were making that up, but we are not. Is going down there. But Chinay, I have some news that I want to get to and celebrate, but you said that you've got a statement coming out of Philadelphia that you feel like we need to share. It is not the Eagles, but it is important nonetheless. So I wanted to get this news before we get to popping bottles around here.
Precisely, and it's from Diana Russini's close friend. They're practically twins here at the halls of ESPN. I'm talking about one Cassidy Hubberth, an NBA reporter, and she's like my big sis extraordinaire. Now, she tweeted, Doc Rivers on his coaching approach with Ben Simmons. Someone check on Cliff's pulse really quick. I don't care about Ben's shooting as much as so many people seem to care about it. I care that he's a great player. I'm going to let him play, give him the keys, and let him play. If he takes no shots, I'm fine. Zero shots. I'm fine.
Doc. You know what? No, you know what? I'm fine, too, because this team does not affect me. So, Cliff, I will ask you. You said you were ready to get hurt again by the Philadelphia 76ers. Does this sound like the brand of pain that you are accustomed to?
Look, this is actually part of the strategy I was thinking for the Sixers, is where Ben Simmons is the ultimate distributor, and then he just passes the shooters around, right? But he still needs to get that ability to actually shoot the mid-range at some point. So I don't like this whole, oh, he doesn't have – you know what? I think Doc is just lying here. I think he's playing us for a fool. He's going to get Ben Simmons to shoot that basketball way or another.
You know what? It just, you know what doesn't make sense to me, guys? I don't know why you wouldn't want to shoot the basketball. Like, again, the MVP, the two-time reigning MVP in Giannis Antetokounmpo looked last offseason and said, you know what? I do a lot of things well. I won the MVP. I'm really great at basketball.
You wilded.
I still want to go out here and learn to shoot better, though. Like, what a novel concept. So I'm just wondering why someone is looking at a part of their game and saying, you know what? Nah, I'm good on all that shooting stuff.
Look, I actually am going to be this conspiracy theorist in the same side of Cliff, our producer, because maybe he's taking all of the pressure off of Ben Simmons so that when he shoots it free without pressure. And so I think if Doc Rivers can do it, maybe Doug Peterson can do it too and take that pressure off of Carson Wentz.
Ooh, it's good. You know what? It's a lot of ifs, maybes right now. The city of brotherly love might need a hug coming up here than later in this situation. It's Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Shell Penzoa Performance Line. And that's where we head now for our very own ESPN NFL host and reporter, Diana Russini, joining us now. Diana, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I'm doing really, really good. I'm excited about Wednesday afternoon football, because what better thing to do than watch football at mid-afternoon?
I was going to say, Diana, what has been the response from people around the league at this idea that the NFL, the titan that is the NFL in North American sports, is getting shoved into a locker by a tree getting lit in New York?
A tree that's being lit in New York, and also a tree that doesn't look very good. It's just, we've all seen the photos by now, which yeah. I didn't realize trees have feelings, but the Twitter account's been pretty funny. Look, I think at this point, you know, let me just talk about the teams that are in the game, right? Steelers and Ravens. We'll start with the Steelers side of it. They've been frustrated, but they've completely moved past that, checking in within the last 2 days. They just want to get this thing rolling now. And, you know, Tomlin has been really hard on them, knowing that, you know, creatures of habit that want to stick to the schedule with a schedule that's been in flux. So that's really been like, if there's any one part of all of this that's been difficult for Pittsburgh, it's really just adjusting their day to day. They, you know, football players, football coaches, they like to do the same thing every day and stick with it. And that just unfortunately hasn't been the case. As for the Ravens, obviously health has been the concern. You know, the players that I've spoken to that tested positive for COVID-19, you know, you can just tell even just through text messages that they're approaching this as, I'm just happy I'm healthy. I'm happy I'm okay. I'm happy my family doesn't have it. But at this point, I can tell you, just even in the last hour or so talking to people from both organizations, everyone is just ready to get this game over with and just get to it.
Here with Diana Russini, ESPN NFL reporter. And I did say, Diana, here with us on Chinay Ngola Jr. on ESPN Radio, I did say that you and Cassidy Hubberth are like sisters and twins before you came on, and I hope you appreciated that, because y'all are like my big sisters. Now, it's really funny because you talked about the two specific teams, the Ravens and the Steelers. Now, what about the overall sentiment of players in the NFL, where we had a week like no other, where the Broncos go out there and without quarterbacks and have to, you know, find someone, a wide receiver from the practice squad to really perform for them? Like, what is the sentiment now, the status now with the NFL overall moving forward?
So I think the sense right now is everyone knows that the league isn't messing around. They want to play these games. Yeah, there are going to be a significant amount of players and even coaches I've spoken to who don't agree 100% with how this is going down. And, you know, everyone likes to compare what happened in Denver to perhaps what's happening to the Ravens. And, you know, they are really different situations when you break it down. There's an outbreak in Baltimore. Significant amount of people, more than 20 people, have tested positive for COVID-19. In Denver, we know it was just the quarterback room. You're able to play a game. Even, I mean, yes, you want your quarterbacks out there, and it would have been competitively fair or more fair if they had one of their backups. But that was on the organization. I had one coach explain it to me today. He said, you look around the league, and a lot of teams have quarantined a quarterback. They chose not to. That's on them. So it's really hard to say, you know, it really is apples and oranges with what we're seeing with the Ravens, what we saw with the Titans back in September. And you know, it's funny, I was just in Tennessee and talking to players there about it. Their perspective is, man, we went through this. Like, we know what this does to your team. And in some cases, it can definitely bring you together, which we've seen it happen in Nashville. But there's definitely some challenges there. And, you know, I actually had one player say, the good thing is we got it already. Like, everyone's had it on our team. So now we're headed into the playoffs, hopefully, and we're not going to have to deal with it. But I think everyone knows that the league wants these games to be played, and everyone is going to just be as cautious as they can. You know, it's funny. I was on a Zoom call yesterday, and Mike Vrabel was talking about how the first he volunteered this information. I thought it was interesting. That the first thing that he remembered from the game when it ended wasn't celebrating with the guys, wasn't, you know, handshakes with Frank Reich or interviews or anything. It was Roger Saffold going, guys, put your mask on now, when they walked in the locker room to celebrate together. So that was a message that says to me, like, guys get it. You know, they need to take this seriously to get the season in.
It's amazing to see what the NFL has done, reinforcing this with fines and a lot of the stern language that it seems to actually be taking hold down the stretch here. Diana, you're the best. We appreciate you as always. We'll talk to you very soon.
Appreciate it, and I love that you considered me and Cass twins. We'll be a triplet with you, girl. You're just a little taller, slightly taller. I lie about my height. I say I'm 5'10". I'm 5'6". Bye, guys.
A four-inch lie. That is incredible. Diana Russini was apparently born to be on a basketball roster somewhere with that kind of height lie.
Yep. She need a higher vert, though, but it's all good. I carry her up there to the
ring. All right. Wow. An attack on Diana Russini's vert. It seems unprompted.
Soccer player. She probably got some hops.
We're gonna have to get Diana offline and find out what the vert looked like. We will see if Diana Russini's vertical jump can find its way into the NFL's bottom five. Chinee will take us through the worst of what we saw this weekend next.
During these challenging times, ESPN and the V Foundation's fight against cancer hasn't stopped. If you are able, please support cancer research by visiting v.org/donate. 100% of what you give goes directly to cancer research.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Again, that is v.org/donate. If you are able, we would greatly appreciate it, helping out in the fight against cancer. The V Foundation for Cancer Research has awarded more than $250 million in research grants up until this point. Such an unbelievably impressive cause, an impressive foundation, and one I know we're honored to be associated here with at ESPN. It's Chinee Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinee Agwumike, and now it is time. We have done the top five in the NFL from the weekend that was, minus the Steelers and the Ravens game that still has to take place tomorrow. But we have done the top five, which means it's now time for the other half here on Chinee Golic Jr.
Which teams were great?
Breaks a tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted! He couldn't hang on!
This is the NFL top five, bottom five.
Let's get in the gutter. The five worst things from this week in the NFL. Let's go number five. Cinco, baby.
Number five.
You know, we couldn't start this without Sammy and the Jets. Now, the Jets took another L, this time to the Miami Dolphins. They're 0-11 this season. And I feel like what happened after was worse than any other L. Adam Gase, his comments about, I don't do play calling, but then I do it after three downs. And then 2 minutes left in the game, I step in. Make it make sense. At this point, they have to keep the confusion consistent so that at least they don't jeopardize their number one pick overall, which their odds are around 89% chance at that first pick and 100% chance at a top five pick. So at least don't mess this up. Win never for Trevor, self-abhorrent. Lawrence for Lawrence.
I just keep seeing those odds and think of the Star Wars meme. More. Make it 100%, Jets fans.
It's the Millennium Falcon and made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. Cliff!
Number four.
Let's go to a team that actually had problems on the football field. And we're not at the Eagles yet. Okay, let's start. I think, Michael Jr., you put Vegas in your bottom five last week. And yes. I think you were on to something, because there's one thing about losing and there's another thing about getting smacked by the Falcons. Okay, they were on the struggle bus, and an extra dose of that was given to their quarterback, Derek Carr, who finished with his lowest passer rating of the season through a pick six and lost three fumbles. So that was not a good performance by the Raiders and Derek Carr.
A struggle and a kind of game that could, I think, just introduce that possibility, that old feeling again, that maybe John Gruden doesn't necessarily vibe with Derek Carr for the long term on this one, even as well as he'd played. I'm not saying it's right, I'm just saying it's there.
And speaking of the struggle bus,
number three
at the quarterback position, woo child, the Bears, the Chicago Bears. Okay, the Bears quarterbacks combined, Nick Foles and Mitch Trubisky, rank dead last in average yards per completion. They are bottom five in completion percentage and top five. Hey, that's a good psych in interceptions. They have messed up the quarterback process from the start of the season, and now that's paying dividends now in the worst way.
This is an organization, Chinay, coaching staff wise, quarterback wise, GM wise, even up to Ryan Pace, it seems like it may be due for wholesale changes this offseason if it keeps up at this pace. As you mentioned, getting embarrassed in front of a national audience is an easy way to jumpstart that process a lot of times.
And who knew that this position that's considered the leaders in the sport would mess up even bigger off the field?
Number two.
Denver Broncos quarterbacks, because they were without their entire depth chart at the quarterback position for Sunday's loss to the Saints. They were all designated high-risk close contacts because they were in the vicinity of someone who tested positive for COVID. All four quarterbacks were deemed to have broken protocols by not wearing masks at the time and also social distancing properly. Now, we got a great story out of it, but at the same time, this leadership position really dropped the ball, no pun intended.
In every way, shape, and form, Chinay, the comparisons to them and the Ravens have been, I think, so misguided because of that reason, because this was something that happened and was isolated to one room. But we've heard other players and their coach, Vic Fangio, say that room put their team in a tough spot and they had to bear the brunt of what happened this weekend.
Yes, and last but not least, top two, and I'm not talking about number two.
Number one.
Yeah, Cliff, you know I'm doing it. I'm in my bag right now. The Eagles. Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to now cancel me. The Eagles and their defensive coordinator. Eagles overall get number one on this list. But if you're talking about the specifics, Monday Night Football, we had the Seahawks taking on the Eagles. And their defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, actually talked to DK Metcalf before the game and said, hey, I was in Detroit with Megatron and you're not there yet. Well, guess what? Heard you. DK Metcalf, his stats against the Eagles, 10 receptions, 177 yards. That's his career high. And right now he leads the NFL in receiving yards with 1,030 now. Now, I went to the receipts to really get the numbers. DK Metcalf versus Calvin Johnson, their first 27 games. Calvin Johnson, 95 receptions, 1,662 yards, 11 TDs. Guess what? DK Metcalf, 116 receptions, 1,939 yards, and 16 TDs. By the numbers, he's doing all right.
Whew.
It's trash.
Whew. Oh. Wow. Oh, no. See, I don't need all this right now. Cliff, I mean, why'd you guys have to poke the bear like that? It was going to be bad enough for you on Monday night.
I'm in the forest.
Hey, who's you guys? I had nothing to do with that.
Oh, wow. See, now this is how it's going to play.
Wait. But I have a question for you, Junior. You got the bottom five, the worst things. Eagles obviously trumped the entire week with their defensive coordinator. We got the Broncos QBs, the Raiders, you name it. And when it comes to the Chicago Bears, also when it comes to the quarterbacks. And, of course, we start with the Jets, because what's a bottom five list without the Jets? Tell me what's the news that had you feeling some type of way.
Oh, see, we got big news coming up here, guys. And this is the trouble, is I keep finding myself. We've got so much show to do. We've got everything going on with the V Foundation today that I love. But, Cliff, just hit me with a little hit of the hit. Little hit of it right now.
Oh no, I don't want this. Hey, that's like the turnt version.
What? I don't know what this is.
Hey,
I don't know where this came from. But I know one thing. Based on some schedule changes, Notre Dame will no longer play Wake Forest to end the season, which means based on the standings and results to date,
let's dance.
Notre Dame holds all the tiebreakers. Notre Dame has clinched their spot in the ACC championship game. It's unfair Notre Dame doesn't have to play in a conference. Well, guess what? We came in. Walk into your trap. Take over your trap. Let's go to the ACC title game. Back in after this.